All right. I want to make a disclaimer before diving into this lesson. I'm very, I like book, chapter, verse. It's my slogan in life. And there are a couple instances in this chronology where I didn't quite find book, chapter, and verse, and I will tell you exactly where those places are. And I want to say that numbers give me a headache. And numbers are boring. But at the same time, you can look at a diagram that says name this many years with a little bar, and you can, we've all seen them before, but until you actually look at the numbers and do the math, then how can you really confirm to yourself that what you're seeing is accurate? And that is the motivation for this morning's study. So it may or may not take us 45 minutes to add up all these ages. We'll find out. But what fascinates me is that we have these two passages in Genesis 5 and Genesis 11 that take us through a genealogy and explain and illustrate a father-son relationship from Adam to Noah and then from Noah to Abraham. And there's, when we look at that, the question becomes, why has God given us these intervals? Why has God supplied us with such concrete numbers? And the conclusion that I come to is that God is trying to communicate to us a part of His power through contradicting what man can come up with. When we think about God's wisdom versus man's wisdom, God in the Bible contradicts man's wisdom at many turns. When we look at Genesis 1, when we look at the creation, that doesn't even match what man has conjured for a derivation of life without God. There's one assumption that we have to make at the start of these processes. One is that there is a God, and the other is that there is not a God. And when we go through these passages, we are going with the assumption that there is a God and that the Bible is His truth. So let's go through this chronology in Genesis. We'll start in Genesis chapter 5. In verse 1. And so the worksheet that I gave you has four columns. And I want to just do the first two columns, because the second two columns are more of a, they're kind of a conversation piece. They're not required for coming up with an age of the earth. And if we need to, or if we have time later, I'll talk about why I put those columns in there. But let's start with Genesis chapter 5. So, in verse 3, we have Adam. And how many years did Adam live until he had Seth? 130 years. So that's the number for the first column. The number for the second column is going to be the total. We're not trying to do a fancy ADBC conversion. We're just going to say, what are the years from the beginning to when God ended his specification? So, in the second column, what is the total number of years that the earth has existed according to Genesis 5, verse 3? Do what? I'm talking about the second column.
Right.
We're 130. The third, okay. This is why we're doing this. All right. Adam lived 130 years before he had Seth. The second column is what I meant as the total number of years that the earth has existed. So it was hard to put that into the title of the column, so I just put total. Column two is total number of years, period. So you're basically adding the total. You're basically tallying up the total as you go through the years that each of them are born. 930 is the column three. So we read in verse 3, or we read in verse 5 that Adam lived 930 years and then he died. Obviously, what this means is that Adam lived longer than a number of years after he gave birth to Seth, in which case it would be 800 years. And that's what it says in verse 4. So if you put 930 in column 2, then you just scratch out everything in column 2 at this point and write new numbers. So that's what we have. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3 is 130 for column 1, 130 for column 2. This is, now we get, continue. In verse 6, how many years did Adam's son Seth lived before he had a child, Enosh, before he had Enosh? Okay, 105. Which means in column 2, how many years has the earth existed at this point? 235. Great. We're on the same page. We're ignoring the rest of the columns. And then we go down to Enosh. How many years did Enosh live before he had Canaan? 90 years. So, 90 plus 235 is 325. All right, we're on a roll. This is going to take 10 minutes. Yeah. Enosh. Verse 12, how many years did Canaan live until he had Mahalalel? 70 years. How many years does that tally for the existence of the earth? 395. Math checks out so far. Verse 15, how many years did Mahalalel live before he had Jared? 65 years. Giving us a total for how many years? 460. Everybody got on the math so far? If I'm going too fast while you're writing down the numbers, you can just tell me to slow down. All right. Verse 18. How many years did Jared live before he had Enoch? 162. And how much does that give for the total age? 622. How many years did, verse 21, how many years did Enoch live before he had Methuselah? 65 years. Giving us a total of? 687. I hope you guys are checking this math, because I'm not. I'm just reading. How many years did... I need to stop talking and just go through this. How many years did... We just did Enoch, right? Yes. Okay, sorry. We're at Methuselah. How many years did Methuselah live before he had Lamech? 187 years, giving us a total of 874. How many years did Lamech live before he had Noah? 182, giving us a total of 1,056 years. And then Noah lived, according to verse 30, and so I'm trying to keep with the verses as we go through, so that you can read and say, okay, this is where that number is at. So in verse 30, we get how long did Noah live before he had Shem? Okay, 32. So that's a discussion that I'm trying to avoid. Well, here's the thing, okay? We'll try to get this at the end, but there is an idea, an argument that's put forward that whenever it lists them like that, that it's not strictly this is the year that this one was born. So this is one instance in which they're not triplets, they were born at different times. But the language that the Bible uses is putting them all together in the same verse. Yes?
Also, you know, when it says that Noah was 600 years when the flood came and his boys were grown and they had wives, that somewhere they were not born together. And somewhere, you know, early on in that 500 years before his 600th birthday, he had those boys and they were grown.
Right. So there are... going with that, there are certain places, and I'm comfortable with this, and I'd like you to be comfortable with this, that the Bible doesn't pound in the exact details of certain things, such as the timing of the birth of all three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We know that Noah was 500 years old whenever he had one of them, but we don't know how old he was when he had the other two. We have an interval. We have limits. Obviously, it was between that 500 and the 600 when Noah built the ark, but for whatever reason, God doesn't give us specifics for every single thing that we would like specifics for, and that's what God's given us. We're working with what God's given us. Yes, Steve. So you're ahead of me. Can you repeat that in about 10 minutes? So up to this point, how many years do we have for the age of the earth if you add Noah's 500? So 1556. God's given us an interval, a limit. He's saying, you know, all these numbers are there. We're faced with them. And the conclusion that I draw is that God is communicating to us a limit to the age of the earth. And 1556 is the number that we come up with. Which very definitely contradict that there are millions of years from the beginning of the earth to the existence of man. So let's go to after Genesis 5, Genesis 6 through 10 is more or less the flood. And I think the Tower of Babel is in here too. No, not yet. We get to Genesis 11. The beginning of Genesis 11 is the Tower of Babel. And then we come to the genealogy of Shem. And that's where we pick up this summation of the age of the earth. We assume that Shem is the one that's being talked about in chapter 5 as the one who's born when Noah's 500 years old. That's, and I want to be clear, that's the assumption that we make. You know, in the verse it says, these three were born when Noah's 500 years old. So, if we continue in column 1, how old was Shem when Arphaxad was born? Okay. And that gives us a total tally of? Okay, 1656. And how old was... Do what? Go ahead. I think you have to go backwards with that. If the way I'm reading this is that Shem has Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. He's 100 years old. So if we back that up and said, if we subtract 2 years from 100, this is why I hate this, because it's math. We get 98. So if we subtract 98 from 600, we come with 502. So we, from that math, we can make the statement that Noah was 502 when he had Shem. So that's the statement I'm going to make about that. You know, it says that he was 500 when he had these three kids. So we could say that if we take this math, then we would say that Shem was not born when Noah was 500 years, but either Ham or Japheth was, and Shem was born 2 years later. Does that make sense? Yeah.
And so for the year of the flood, you can take 500 of 532. And then you got in chapter 7 and verse 6, Noah's 600 when the flood came, 1656. And but if you look on Michael's chart, the Bible says 1658. Mm-hmm. That's that 2 year talking about assuming Jim was actually born.
2 years later. Right. So I'm going with 1656 for the total. If you, on my worksheet, if you take the 2 years out, then that kind of changes the whole thing going on down. So if you have 1658, then I'm not gonna say that you're completely wrong. This is why we're doing this, because I want you to have these numbers, go through these numbers in your own mind. So, I'm going with 1656 from here on out, which means, continuing on, how old is Arphaxad when he has Salah? 35 years. So if you add 35 years to the 1656, you're at 1691. And then how many years does Salah live before he has Eber? 30 years, which gives us a total of 1721. How old is Eber when he has Peleg? 34 years, giving us a total of 1755. So I made a typo in mine. Now my count's off. 1755. How many years does Peleg live when he has Reu? 30. Giving us a total of 1785. How many years does Reu live before he has Serug? 32. Giving us a total of 1817. How many years does Serug live before he has Nahor? 30. Giving us a total of 1847. How many years does Nahor live after, before he has Terah? 29. I'm just waiting for everybody to get to the next page. Giving us a total of 1876. How many years does Terah live in? I'm sorry, I'm neglecting the verses. According to verse 26 of Genesis chapter 11, how many years does Terah live before he has Abram? 70. Giving us a total of 1946. And in verse 26, this is another instance of that we have where the three are listed. Abram's listed as the most prominent. Or we obviously understand that Abram is the most important of the three children. But as Steve was saying earlier, that does not mean that Abram was the firstborn. It means that he was the most important of the three born. Does that make sense? So, there may be an interval of time that's longer than 70 years from which Abram was born. Did you go? So,
if you look at verse, look at the last verse of the chapter, it says she was 205 years when he died in Haran.
Okay.
7:4 says Abram left Haran after he died. Well, he was 75 when he left Haran. So that makes she was 130 when Abram was born. 75 to 205.
Okay. So, in verse 26, Terah lived 70 years. You're saying that it's 70 plus 50 for the birth of Abram.
Yeah. 130.
Which would make him...
Back 75 to 205. You get 130.
75 from 205.
Yeah, because he's 205 when he died.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I'm not writing that down, but all the rest of you write that down.
If that's correct, that would be, make that
130. Right. So
I say you're very true, but it doesn't make the point you're making.
Sure. We understand that the point I'm making is that the earth is not that old. And so if we're going with just a simple tally through here, then we come up with 1946 for when Terah has, where it states that Terah has children. But you would add 1946 plus 75 for the birth of it. Not 75. I'm not going to try to be clear on that. You add a certain number of years for Abram to be born. The next period of time that I asked for was years in Egypt. And there is a convoluted... couple ways of getting to a number for that. So, if we, and I didn't put these on your sheet, but we're going to start with Genesis chapter 12, verse 41. We're going to start with Exodus 12, 41, I think. I wrote it down. Only the first mistake I make in this lesson. Okay, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, it says, "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt." So I was following a chronology when I was putting together this lesson. And the period from 1946, the next period of time is 430, according to Exodus 12:40. And the reason for that is because God said if we keep 430 in your minds, so I know probably years in Egypt, most of you put 400, right? Because that's when it was stated. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 14 and verse 13. Genesis. Well, I had 14:13 written down. Okay. We're going to go to Genesis 15, 13. So, keep in mind that in Exodus 12:41, the number given is 430. And the that is described as a period of persecution in Egypt. When we go back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Then he said to Abram, 'Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years.'" Here, the period given is 400 for the children of Egypt, or for the children of Israel to live in Egypt. But the chronology that I base this on put 430 years from the time that Abram left Haran as the period of persecution. So that is something that people can argue over, because obviously obviously there wasn't 30 years from Abram leaving Haran to Jacob going into Egypt. So the period of time for that, I don't really have. There's not a set of verses that I could follow that gives how much time passed from Abram leaving Haran, Abram leaving Haran to Isaac going into Egypt. I'm just going to put that out there. Jacob going into Egypt. So, Steve, do you want to propose a number, or?
What you're discussing is about 5 days a day.
Right. Yes. Right. So we're going to go with, I believe, a short sojourn for the 430 years in my tally of years. Okay. No, then I'm going to go with a long one. Yes. I'm not dealing with them. That's. Right. So, like, that would be part of a different study in which we compared that timeline to the 430 years to decide kind of, you would be comparing those numbers.
If you go to a separate class, then maybe it is a long, sharp sojourn.
I think we'll probably have to do that. Not Wednesday, though. I've already got the topic Wednesday. And I want Wednesdays is a lot easier than this. So, going back to the tally to get through this, we're going to tack on, we're going to add 430 years to 1946. And we're going to say, yes. Yes. Well, okay, yes. So if we, this, you got to keep me in line. If we add 100 to 1946, we get, right. And if we add 430 to 2046, we come up with 2476. We've completely blown my timeline at this point, so the math is on you guys if you get it wrong. Okay? But the important thing is, this is the point where we are leaving Egypt. And so if you're trying to figure out how old the earth is, now you have to come and you have to figure out, okay, how many years from when they left Egypt to another time post? And we can go, that time post is the construction of the temple. If we go to 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, this one is on your handout. So, 1 Kings chapter 6, 1 says that, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, that he began to build the house of the Lord, which was the temple. That's the next time period that we have. So if you tack on 480 to what number are we on? 2476. What's the number you come up with? Okay, thank you. 2956 until the temple's built.
And how do you explain the difference in 480 and 430?
I don't. I'm just cutting it off right there. Well, no. Right, we're talking about two different time periods. Okay, in 1 Kings 6:1, we're talking about the time period from when the Israelites left Egypt to when the temple was built. The 430 is sometime between when Abram left Haran or 30 years before they entered Egypt. That's basically the time they're in Egypt is the 430. And that's why we add those two time periods. Some people are nodding. Some people are still staring intently at their notes. So we can talk about it some more. We can talk about it some more after class. So we're at 2956. The next period of time that's given is Solomon's reign to the division of the kingdom, which is given in 1 Kings 11:42, and that's 40 years. So 2956 plus 40 is 2996. Solomon reigns for 40 years. And I think there's a three-year error in there because in 1 Kings 6:1 it says that it started in the fourth year of Solomon's reign. So I might have had to put 36 instead of 40, but I'm going with 40. That's how easy this is. So the division of the kingdom, the next time period that's given is Jerusalem's destruction. If we go to Ezekiel 4:4-6, in Ezekiel 4:4-6, God tells Ezekiel, lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of days, 390 days. So this is the period of time for the house of Israel. And verse 6 says, and when you have completed them, lie again on your right side, then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. So God tells him, lay here this many days. And he tells them each day is a year. So if from the division, we have 390 years until Israel's problem, Israel's iniquity is fulfilled. And we have a, and then we have 40 for Judah. We understand that Israel was taken first and then Judah was taken after. When Judah was taken, that was the destruction of the temple. So if we add 430 to 2996, we get, I'm doing math on the fly now, 3336, I believe. And that's the time, that's the time period until the destruction of the temple. So this is perfect timing. Basically, everyone agrees that the temple was destroyed in 586 BC. So 3336 plus 586 is 38, actually 38 something something. That is 38 something something to the destruction, to 586. You add, and then from 586 to 0 BC. That's how far back the years are from time zero. Thank you for bearing with me. Be sure and get a handout in the back for Noah's flood on Wednesday. Thank you. Thanks.